Kathy Hosler of Smyrna is a beekeeper. She sells the honey they make, and the beeswax can be used to make soap. Currently, Hosler is president of the Delaware Beekeepers Association.
Keep the bees in my backyard, and I first became interested in beekeeping when I had read about colony collapse disorder. And I'd always been interested in bees as insects because their biology is so interesting, and their social system, you know, having, you know, one queen and all of the workers. I found that, you know, fascinating to try to understand why they would be that way.
Sure.
I took a beekeeping class that was offered by the Delaware Beekeeping Association. They offer them every January, and that gave me basically what I needed to know to start keeping bees. And so I guess it's been about 5 years now that I've been keeping bees, and they're a good topic of conversation.
Absolutely.
My kids are kind of embarrassed sometimes, sometimes proud, depending on, you know, what day of the week it is. They don't bother my neighbors. They forage in the neighborhood. One of my neighbors actually said that once I started keeping bees, that his vegetables actually did better because of the increase in pollination.
Well, that's what they do, right?
That is what they do.
Well, Kathy, when you heard about the murder hornets, what went through your mind?
I actually had known about the Asian hornets, you know, for a while. I teach classes about beekeeping. And one of the videos that I love to show my students was the National Geographic had some footage of a Japanese hornet attacking a beehive. And within a half hour, you know, they had decimated, you know, they'd cut all their little heads off.
It's a gruesome demise for the bees, and the giant hornet has been known to be harmful to humans. After all, it's almost as big as the palm of your hand. They've turned up on Vancouver Island in Canada and in Washington State, but not in numbers of great concern. Doug Tallamy is professor of entomology at the University of Delaware.
The main concern is honeybees. At the end of the season, when they're rearing their queens, they become really predacious, and they focus on honeybees. They have a curious behavior, but the honeybees have a defense, too. What they do is they send out scouts. The scouts will find a colony, and then the scout goes back and recruits other members of its hive. Their hive's not very big, but if three or four of these, we'll just call them the giant Asian hornet. That's a little bit more accurate. If they get to a hive, they can decimate it. They snip the heads off the bees, and they carry the thorax back, and then they feed that to their developing larvae. The Japanese honeybee has an interesting defense in that they don't want those scouts to go back to the hive. So if a scout enters a hive, they swarm it. You get a couple hundred bees surrounding this hornet. They can't sting it to death because its cuticle is too thick. So what they do is they buzz. They rev up their thoracic muscles and create this audible buzz, which generates heat. And essentially, they cook it to death. They can raise the temperature of that ball of bees to 116 degrees, and the hornet dies at 111 degrees. So it's a really curious defense. And, you know, sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. If they don't succeed, the colony is typically wiped out. I don't believe our European honeybees, that's the one we have here, have that defense. I don't think they can do that. Not sure about that, but I don't think that's been demonstrated here because they've never encountered this giant hornet before.
This is also a hornet that's several inches long, and anybody who's been stung by a bee might the effects of an encounter with this murder hornet cause us humans difficulties?
Well, it is big. It's the largest hornet in the world, and it does pack a powerful sting. If you get stung, but we want to look at risk assessment here. The chances of being stung are very slim. The colonies are small. So you would have to stumble across a colony accidentally. And you'd have to be very unlucky, in other words. And so that happens. But you know how many people honeybees kill every year? I mean, they're aggressively protecting their hive as well. So I object to the... Here's how it got its name, murder hornet. And I object to sensationalizing. nature like that, because that's just what it is. If we really want to label an animal murder, let's call the house cat a murder cat, because it kills 2 to 3 billion birds a year. And we don't seem to care about that. But, you know, oh, we got a hornet up. Got to sensationalize it.
Professor Tallamy does not expect the murder hornet to even show up this far east, much less turn out to be a threat.
No, there's nothing a Delaware beekeeper should be worried about at this point. My feeling is that they're going to eradicate it in Washington, and it won't move any farther east. Because they're discrete little colonies, it's not like a typical invasive species that an individual can go and reproduce hundreds. These are well-organized colonies in single places all season long. They're easy to track down. And I'm pretty certain, particularly with all the attention they've gotten and the power of social media, people see them, you can help track them down. But we'll find the colonies. There's probably just a few, and wipe them out. So if I were a Delaware beekeeper, I wouldn't worry 2 minutes about it.
There's plenty else for a beekeeper such as Kathy Hosler to be concerned about, such as the varroa mite.
The varroa mite is like a tick for bees. But imagine a tick the size of like a guinea pig or a rabbit, you know, attached to your body. They're very large in comparison to the body size of the bee. And they will feed on the bee, and they'll feed even more importantly on the developing larvae. The mite will get inside a cell with a developing bee and lay eggs, and those eggs will hatch, and they'll feed on the developing larvae. And so that larvae can emerge unhealthy. They also transmit a lot of viruses, and they are a major killer of honeybees, not only in Delaware, but, you know, throughout the United States and the world. They're so prevalent. We think that, you know, every colony is infested with them now. And we monitor to make sure that the levels of the mites don't get so high. That's the main job of a beekeeper at this point, is making sure that the parasite load isn't, you know, high enough to kill your bees.
Hosler says beekeeping is growing in popularity, with more people signing up every year for the basic beekeeping class. She's also an instructor now. And she says in Delaware and elsewhere, bees' lives matter.
We're an agricultural state, and we actually have to import bees to deal with, you know, our own fruits and vegetables. There aren't enough local bees, you know, to manage that yet. So that's important. We do still get bees from out of state that come and pollinate. It would be nice if we had, you know, more local bees. They're a great hobby. They're very, you know, they can be very relaxing. And a lot of people really like local honey. It's something that, if you like honey, depending on where the bees have been foraging, the flavor and the color and the texture is going to be pretty different. And so for honey aficionados, local beekeeping is, you know, like the best.
Mark Fauser, Delaware Public Media.